Amen, amen. God is really, really good. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We do have a presence of the Lord here today that is very special. Amen. It is. I love to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Before I read my text, go ahead and sit down. I'm not in a hurry today, in case you didn't, if you could tell that. Amen. I want to just go ahead and give God praise, thanks. Amen. In case you didn't know, it's now August. It was August the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2011, that we received the keys to this building. I remember very vividly the Dykes were looking, trying to get out of their rental and into buying their house, and they were in negotiations, and it was going back and forth, and we were doing the same thing with the church building, and we didn't know if either of them would be approved or both of them would be approved or who would get the house or the church first, and it was like a race to see what blessing God would give us first. Amen. God gave us both those blessings. So 11 to now 14 years, I guess, we've been in this facility. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we own it now. Amen. Oh, we do have a mortgage, but... In case you don't remember, and there's some here today that weren't with us back then, we were in a storefront in the New London. We had an awesome time in that storefront. We started with just a handful. There were 8 people that were voting members when I became pastor in 2005. Amazing. October will be 20 years that I've been pastor of this church. But back then, we had 8 adult members. I was elected by a unanimous vote. Amen. All 8 members. Amen. But that storefront was amazing. We had a donut ministry. We got the leftover donuts on Saturday night from Dunkin' Donuts. When they closed, we'd go there and someone would pick it up. Fred was helping us with that back then. And we would put the donuts out and some big pots of coffee, and people from the community and from the homeless shelter primarily. A lot of those folks came over, especially in the wintertime, because you had to leave the shelter at 7 o'clock and church didn't start till 11 o'clock. And so that's a lot of hours to be standing outside. Gave them some place to go and was warm, and they got to eat breakfast and have some coffee. And, you know, so we would have sometimes, you know, 30 people, sometimes 40 people out there in the foyer of our church having free donuts and bagels and coffee. And then church time, about 10 o'clock, we started wrapping up. 10:30, we were done, and you put everything away. And some of those people would stay. And many of those people were baptized in Jesus' name, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was a 2-year period back then where we had somebody receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name, or some miraculous thing happened every single Sunday, week after week after week, for 2 consecutive years. Amen. So it was an awesome time. I mean, we were a small group of people, but God was doing big stuff. Amen. It got to the point where we were really bumping at the walls. We were pretty full, you know, 40, 50 people, and we only had 10 pews, and that was about... try to put 10 people in each pew, and if you got 10 of them, it was packed. I remember one time we had a Christmas service in which we had a blizzard that day, And most of the city of New London was shut down. But, man, we're going to have church anyway. We had a Christmas program on a shutdown blizzard day. I said, we are not canceling today. If two kids come, we're going to have a Christmas program with two kids. You know, we're going to continue to have church, and whoever comes, God will bless them. Did you know that we had 99 people that day? I mean, people were standing in the aisles and standing up in the back. And I mean, that place was shoulder to shoulder, full, packed with people. I went onto the sidewalk to see if I could grab somebody to bring them in so we could make 100. But I didn't get it. It was 99. But then, winter fire in 2010. I'm just reminiscing now because this is an anniversary. And I am celebrating the good stuff that God has done for us. Amen. God, we got an awesome testimony. I'd pick up somebody in Taftville and bring them to New London for church. And we'd ride by right by this building, and it had been for sale, and it had been empty for more than 2 years. In fact, I think it was 3 years at that point. That this building was empty. There was no church in this building. And it had a for sale sign out front. We'd ride by in Jesus' name. God, it would be so good if we could have that church. But the problem was they wanted $500,000 for the church. They wanted $500,000 for this building. And we put a bid on it, and they turned us down. We tried to get financing. They turned us down. Nothing was really working. And then we had a time of winter fire came, 2010, and we were praying to move. We had looked at other churches to rent and share a building with a different church, and we looked at a bigger storefront, and we looked at other facilities, a Kingdom Hall. We looked at a number of different places around, but the same problem would arrive with every different place. Either it was too small, needed too much work, or it was just plain too expensive and we couldn't afford it. Well, we had a time of prayer and fasting. We got to back up. Winter fire came. We had an awesome time at winter fire. Man, God was moving. People got the Holy Ghost. I remember it was an awesome, awesome meeting. When I got home that evening, that Saturday, I got a call, and it was the fire marshal in New London. He said, "You're the pastor of Apostolic Lighthouse in this building at that address?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, there's been an incident at the building, and the roof has let loose in the front of the building. We're afraid the brick in the front of the building will fall into the street. We have condemned the building, and we need you to come down here right away." Oh, wow. Okay. So got in the van, went over there. A couple of our folks were with us. They said, "We're going to stand outside and we're going to be watching the building. If we see anything move, we hear any noises, we're going to holler. We're not going in. We're going to holler. And if we holler for you to come out, you need to drop what you have and run out of the building because it's in danger. Okay. But we're going to stand here and watch it. We'll let you go in one time and get what you need and come out. And then we're going to lock the door, and you cannot go back in until repairs are completed." Wow, okay. You go get the drums. You go get the computer. You go get, we had a small group of us ran in, ran out, got our few things. And then we never again had church in that building. It was condemned forever. We were in a couple of different hotels. We were renting from some. We'd have to set up in a conference room, and then when church was done, we'd have to take it all apart and tote it off and put it away, and next service come back and put it up. And that went on for about 6 months. And we were praying for this building. We had a fast and prayer time. We were also meeting in homes at that time once a week. And during that period, I just kept telling our people, God will make a way. He's going to provide a way for us. Amen. I remember sitting in Sister Brown's living room. We were having a prayer meeting in their house that day. Just God will provide us a way. Just let's pray. So we had a time of 1 week prayer and fasting. And during that week, I wrote a letter to the owners of this building. At the time, it was the United Methodist Church of New England. It had a board that the superintendent of each of the states in New England were on that board, and that organization owned this building. It was for sale for $500,000. I wrote a letter to them to offer them $400,000, and that we would do improvements on the building, and we would pay for it ourselves. We knew that furnace needed to be replaced, and that painting needed to be done, and fixtures needed to be replaced, and that there was a number of needed fixes, and that the church would pay for it all. We would not ask for any assistance from the owners, and we would care for the building ourselves. In return, we would like to have an option to purchase the building after 3 years of renting. So it was a rent-to-own situation in my letter. And in that request, I added at the end of there, and we'd like to have you hold 50% of our rental as a down payment at the execution of the option to purchase. That meant half of our rent would go toward our purchase at the time of the option to buy. So it was a down the stream option. How I came to that conclusion was a conglomerate of a financial advisor and our district leadership and my pastor, and a bunch of different things happened to make that proposal. And then I got a phone call about a month later from the broker that had turned me down 3 months earlier. He said, "I didn't even know you had an offer anymore, but I got notified that the owners of that building have accepted your offer, and they're going to let you rent the building with an option to buy." Well, we closed on that contract August the 1st, 2011. So it has now been 14 years that we've been in this place. Praise the Lord. And we now have more than 8 people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's many, many, many more stories from then to now. God has been good all the time. If you've been with us on that ride, thank you for being faithful. And God has got yet more good things in store. Amen. Let's love the Lord. Once we had that contract in hand, we had to have it insured. And the insurance company, of course, they come and do an inspection and measure everything. And he said, "Well, this building requires a replacement value on the insurance of $1.3 million, of which back then we owed about $300,000 on it. So we had $1 million in equity when we purchased the building." Yeah. Amen. So praise the Lord. Thank God. What a discount. I tell you, God makes a way. When everybody else turns you down, turn to God. How about that? In fact, why don't you just turn to God first? You don't have to get turned down. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's all good stuff. I got 2 verses to read. Would you stand with me? I'm going to go to my text. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us. Someone say delivered us. Delivered. Who delivered us from so great a death. And doth deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. My title, the Deliverer. Would you say that with me? The Deliverer. Amen. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even right now, Lord, for your will, Lord, your purpose, God, your will to be accomplished here. God, put words in my mouth, quicken my mind, and Lord, open our understanding today, Lord, that you are the Deliverer. Lord, that you will deliver, that you still deliver. Lord, and you will in the future deliver. Lord, that we can trust you always in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. In the 10th chapter of the book of Judges, the Old Testament, you will find a common story detailing the falling away, idolatry, and repentance of Israel. It's not just there, but it's many places. It's a common theme, if you will, that happens. In fact, it's a pattern in the Old Testament. And many times, still today, it is in our own society, in our own lives, a pattern where people find themselves in trouble with God. But when they repent, when they turn to God, God forgives them, God helps them, and they come back up. Life sometimes, too many times, goes in that same cycle. It's in the Old Testament again and again. It's in our lives today. People sometimes are doing good. They're loving the Lord and blessed by God, and then something happens and they trip up or fall down, or they lose their something in them from God and they fall away. But when they repent, God blesses them and God helps them. It's a cycle. Amen. The only thing unique or uncommon in this story, in this portion of Scripture, in the Old Testament, in Judges 10, is that when Israel thought they would turn back to God, get this now, God said no. Can you imagine God saying no? Wow. Let me read it. Let me read this example. It's just a few verses. Judges 10, beginning at verse 11. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians? Anybody remember that story? Going through the Red Sea, delivering the whole... Everybody was a slave in bondage, and God delivered the whole nation. And from the Amorites, in the promised land, God gave them deliverance. From the children of Ammon and from the Philistines. Anybody remember the story of a giant and a boy? Amen. Verse 12. The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Moabites did oppress you. And ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. God's reminding them, I delivered you then and again and again and again. Verse 13, yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. God is a jealous God. God doesn't want any other gods beside him. Behind him, certainly not before him. You served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Wow. Man, that's scary words right there. What if you were in so much trouble and the people around you were gathering against you and you were in a strait, you were in a hard place, the enemy is surrounding you, they seem stronger than you, you're not able to protect yourself, you're not able to find anyone else, you're not able to help your own self. And God said, no. Verse 14, go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. The false gods, the gods of the heathens, the gods of the unclean. Why don't you see if they'll deliver you? Why don't you ask them to help you now? Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Who do you want to trust? You want to trust the government to bail you out? I'm telling you, that's not a real good idea. That's not going to work for very long. You know what? I'm a dad, I'm a grandpa, I love my family, I love my children, I would help them with everything that I am or have. But dad has limitations. Mom might be able to ease the wound and clean it up and put a Band-Aid on there, but there's limitations for grandma too. We can't always trust on family to bail us out. We can't always trust the answer for our problem to come from those that are around us. You see, Israel knew that the other gods could not deliver them. They knew that. They knew that if Jehovah God did not intervene, they would be destroyed. They would be wiped out. Made extinct from the face of the earth. That Israel could be erased from humanity. The countries around them were stronger than they. The enemies were too numerous to fight. You know what? If you're all on your own, if you are trying to go this life and walk your way all by yourself, by your own wisdom, by your own strength, by your own self-sufficiency, guess what? The world is going to swallow you whole. Everything could be consumed in a moment. Your life could be in a spiral of downward motion that consumes everything around you. Such is what Israel felt at this time. If God doesn't deliver us, there's no other hope. This, in fact, is the first time that I've found where God said no. Look back. The up and down of Israel. The ins and outs of the children of God. God had a track record of bailing them out. Of delivering them. And in the nick of time. Of helping them when they really needed help. But that's not what God said this time. Not this time. Not today.
Israel would have to genuinely repent. Genuinely turn from their wicked ways. Put aside the heathen habits of their land. It's not lip service this time. No temporary stay of judgment this time. Israel would repent or perish. There is place in our own lives. Yes, we serve a loving God. Yes, we serve a forgiving God. Yes, we serve a great God. But there is a time where God can actually set before you a choice to repent or perish. I've seen it. I've seen the evangelist moved by the hand of God with miracles and signs and wonders and miraculous movings in the presence of the Lord in the service come to that individual and say, God has given you space right now to repent. God is calling you to be saved. And I've seen that individual reject that opportunity. Later seeing them going away from the Lord. Not blessed by the hand of God. They missed their opportunity. Israel's opportunity was here in this place in Scripture. The next verse, Judges 10, verse 15. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. They admitted it. They knew they were wrong. They knew what they'd done. We have sinned. Get this now. Their mindset, their attitude, their actions, their words changed here. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee. This day. Someone say, this day. I tell you what, there comes a day. It was Israel's day. It was time for them right there, right here. Right in verse number 15, chapter 10 in Judges. This, you can put your finger on the page. This is the spot that they had to choose. You will repent. Turn to God or perish. The trouble that is before you will consume you. The enemies will be victorious. Verse 16. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God said no, and they fell on their face, and they repented. They pleaded. Their repentance was fivefold. We have sinned. That's number one, honesty before God. God already knows who you are and what you've done. You are not hiding anything from God. God already knows who you are, what you've done, and what your thoughts are. Honesty is the best policy with God. Amen. We have sinned. It starts with being honest. Then number two of the fivefold repentance. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. There comes a time where we have to give up going our own way. There comes a time when we are truly repented of our sin, of the wickedness of this world, that we have to give up of our own selves. We have to give up our own way. We have to give up on the things that the world wants us to do, what everybody else says is right, and follow and trust the Lord. We got to choose to put ourselves in God's hand. God, whatever is good, I'm in your hand. God, whatever you think, God, whatever you want, I am in your hand. If I perish, I'll perish. But God, I want to be in your hand when I go. Amen. We are putting ourselves, when we truly repent, we're giving up the direction of our own selves, of our own lives, of our own desires, of our own hopes and attitudes. And we are putting ourselves in the hand of God. Throwing ourselves on His mercy, if you will. Falling upon the rock that was broken. Amen. I tell you what, it's a whole lot better to fall on the rock, Jesus Christ, than let the rock of ages fall on you. Amen. Amen. You know, there will be a judgment day. There is going to be a judgment of every life that has ever lived. Amen. That was number two. Hey, do whatever you want to me, God. I'm yours. Number three, here was their request. Deliver us only. We pray, get this day. There comes a time where you got to draw a line. There comes a time where you got to separate yourself. There comes a time when you have to make a decision. Today, God, deliver me. God, today, I'm done with that thing. I'm done with those people. I'm done with that way of life. The false gods. I'm done with that. And Lord, I want to live for you from right now, today, and forever. God, I'm not turning back. This is it today, God. Deliver me. Deliver me. That was number three. Number four, they put away strange gods from among them. They actually did it. Genuine repentance is always accompanied by proof. The proof is in the pudding. Anybody ever heard that? If you're the same after you repented, well, then there's no proof. There's something that's missing. Because when you truly turn to God, when you truly trust the Lord, when you put yourself in His hand, when you are falling upon the rock, when you are giving yourself to God, when you've decided to serve Him, things will change. They will. They will be different. The proof of repentance. Proof of a repentant spirit is in your new attitude. Everybody has an attitude. It could be good or it could be bad. Amen. You got to have a godly attitude. Amen. And now, number five, the fivefold of their repentance, and served the Lord. Here it is. It's the acid test of genuine repentance. If you have genuinely repented, then you will then serve the Lord. God heard their genuine repentance. His heart was grieved. He was moved by their repentance, by their actions, yes, by their words, but by what they now do before the Lord. Put away their strange God. Give themselves unto Him. If you read in the 11th chapter, this is chapter 10, the next chapter, God raised up Jephthah and led an army to total victory over the enemy. I tell you what, God is able to deliver you entirely. No matter where you came from, no matter who you are, what your history is, God is able to deliver you. Doesn't matter how big your problem was. My God is bigger than all of your problems. My God is bigger than all of the fears in this world. There are some situations, yes, that we, by our own hand, by our own making, sometimes we are the worst enemy in our own life. By our choices, by our actions, by our words, by our own deeds, by our own ways, we are the enemy of our own selves. And there are some things, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we had nothing to do with putting us there. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Life happens to the ungodly and even to the godly. Life happens. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. But sometimes it does. But God is able to see us through those times. I may as well here be honest. Neither do I know why good things happen to bad people. But they do. Whether you are in a situation right now of your own making, or whether you are in a situation that you did not cause, you did not ask for, in either of these situations, it is God's good pleasure to deliver His people from their troubles, from their sins, and from that situation. It's God's good pleasure to bless His people. The Apostle Paul wrote in Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. We read it in the beginning. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. A, He delivered us. He has a track record of delivering His people. God has delivered me over and over and over again. God has brought me out of trouble so many times I wouldn't be able to speak of it now. God has delivered us. And He said, God doth deliver. God is still in the delivering business today. Amen. Yes, He delivered the children of Israel. Yes, He brought them out of Egypt. Yes, He gave them the promised land. Yes, He gave them houses and lands and vineyards. He gave them everything. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Manna rained down. Quail came. God gave them everything they needed. God delivered them by a mighty, strong hand. Oh, but Pastor, that was the Old Testament. I'm telling you, I could go around the room and God delivered me when I couldn't deliver myself. God delivered you when you were unable to take yourself out of that curse. God delivered us when we didn't know how to be delivered. Amen. I could go around the room and tell stories about a whole bunch of people in here today. Amen. Amen. I got 6 minutes. I'm trying to hurry. He doth deliver. He will yet deliver us. If you're here today and you've got a problem that you don't know how to deal with, sometimes it's in our finances. Sometimes it's in our children. Sometimes it's in our work. Sometimes it's in our homes. Sometimes it's in ourselves. But if you've got a situation that you're dealing with right now and you need a deliverer, and I've got another point I want to make on this in just a little while, He will yet deliver us. I tell you, God is your answer. Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Amen. The Word of God is just full of examples of the delivering hand and the power of God. The situations that people are in seem insurmountable. Situations can be so dire that nobody, no humans, not the ones that are for you, not the ones that are against you, nobody knows what to do. But yet, God is a deliverer. He will deliver. He has delivered and will yet deliver, future tense, those that call upon Him. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, they called their names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Get their situation. They were in a heathen land, captives, and yet they served with rigor. They served with honesty. They served with integrity, and they were exalted in the kingdom. They became helpers under the king's leadership. And they saw when the king ordered this huge idol to be made. Big, great, big, tall. I think it was 70 feet tall. I forget how tall it was. But it was a giant, huge statue. And his intention came one day where he said, when you hear the sound of all this music, instruments that I don't even know really what they are, when you hear all the music, everybody bow down and worship the idol. Our world is like that. Everybody's got to obey. Everybody get a vaccine. Well, I got a vaccine. So, but I do know those that didn't get it, and they're still okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, our world wants to follow along and just be told what to do. And us, like a big herd of cattle, moo, moo. Oh, go down to the center aisle, moo, moo. You just follow the crowd. You know, if you're following the crowd, you might follow the crowd right through that wide gate to hell. The right way is narrow. In fact, it calls it a straight gate. Straight is a narrow body of water. There it is. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a narrow body of water, and it is the path to have your sins remitted. Amen. It's not really a baptism message, but you could be baptized. They said, bow down. Everybody follow. You're going to follow or suffer the consequences. You know, we're threatened with, you're going to lose your job. Oh, you can't fly an airplane. Oh, you can't enter the government building. I really didn't want to go there anyway. were threatened to follow the crowd. Well, these three guys, they were threatened with their life. You're going to bow down or we're going to burn you alive in a furnace. And when they had all that music playing, everybody bowed. Three men stood in observation. Everybody else is bowed. But I only have one God. And I will only bow unto Him. There will be no other God in my life. There will be no other God that I will serve. I will not bow to a heathen God. You know, it hadn't come yet. It hadn't been like that in our day yet, but our day's coming. Our day's coming. You're going to get to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to go down the center aisle, moo, and follow the crowd and do what they do? Are you going to stand and I will serve the Lord alone? It is Jesus who is my God. It is Jesus, my Savior, that I will bow myself unto. Him only. You know, they told the king, if we die, we die. You can throw us in there, but we're not going to bow. We're not going to do it. Well, guess what? They really did throw them in there. They really did get thrown in the fiery furnace. And God really did deliver them. Amen. They could see them walking around inside that furnace. And the king said, there's a fourth one that looks like the Son of God. I tell you what, everybody is going to recognize who Jesus is. Amen. There's not going to be any question on who God is. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den, similar situation. Hebrew children were chapter 3 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 was Daniel in the lion's den. He had a habit of prayer. Prayed 3 times a day. Prayed when he felt good, prayed when he didn't. Prayed in the morning, in the noonday, and in the evening. They saw him prayed and plotted against him and made a rule that nobody could pray except unto the king. Well, Daniel still prayed. Make a decision in your life. I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to be faithful to Him. No matter what this world does, no matter where I am, no matter what else happens, I want to serve the Lord. Well, quicken up the story, they threw him in the lion's den too. But God delivered him from the lion's den. Amen. Israel was surrounded on every side, facing certain annihilation. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with others besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. The enemy is here. They're all around us. They're more than we are. They're stronger than we are. Things are looking really bad. Jump down some verses, 22 in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Tell you what, the Lord has the ability to fight our battle for us. Amen. To deliver us. He will deliver us. Amen. Acts 2:38, that verse on the wall right behind me. Repent. Israel had to repent. They had to be baptized in Jesus' name. They had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's answer to sin. It's the beginning of your walk with the Lord. Amen. We can look at the Bible. There's hundreds of examples. the delivering power of God. Let me tell you that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. My God's not changing. Amen. Anything He has ever done in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, for your brother, for your sister, for the missionary, anything God has ever done for anyone, anywhere, at any time, God can do it today. Right here, in this service. Amen. He can still deliver the sinner from sins today. Acts 2:38. There is no problem too big for our God to solve. He is the deliverer. Nothing the devil can devise in the pit of hell that our God cannot deliver us from. There's nothing on earth that is too hard for God. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, again. Who delivered us? Anybody been delivered by God? God has delivered me from so great a death and doth deliver. Anybody, God's helping you right now? God doth deliver. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver. Anybody expecting God to deliver you in the future as well? Amen. Let me wrap this up. I'm closing. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to point this out. Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered. Someone say delivered.
Delivered.
Now, the baby that she didn't have wasn't attacking her. The problem was she didn't have a baby that she really wanted. And was delivered of a child. That means God gave her something that she really, 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 I mean, with everything within her, she wanted a baby. God, give me a baby. 75 years old, she's still, God, give me a baby. 75 years old. Or actually, Abraham was. They were asking. They received a promise. And it was 25 years later. 25 years later that they actually received the promise. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. And they got a baby. God delivered, gave to them what their bodies were not able to produce. How many 100-year-old guys you know having newborn babies? I could not imagine. Couldn't imagine. But they could. They did. And God gave them their heart's desire. Is there something that you really want? Musicians, come. Would you come? God gave them the utmost thing that they desired in all of life. They wanted to have a baby. God gave them their promised child. They were looking for it for 25 years. And God gave it to them. Verse 12 of Hebrews 11. Therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead. That was both of them, 90 and 100 years old. They were past childbearing years. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude. And as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Who is to say how great the promises of God are? tell you, God can do more than your mind can comprehend. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are greater than us. Amen. I tell you, there is no other life to live than that of living for the Lord. Because whatever comes, whatever goes, whether I'm up or whether I'm down, I can trust in the Lord who is my God. He will see me through. God's will be accomplished in my life because I have given myself to Him. Would you stand with me? In the closing portion of this service, whether if you need to be delivered from whatever it is, you may need to have salvation. You may need to have a solution. You may need an answer. Or maybe you need God to hand you what you've been looking for. In any of those situations, God is the deliverer. Amen. Would you love Him with me? Would you lift your hands? Would you join me? I want to open this altar and ask you to come. If you'd like God to do, if you'd just like to thank God for what He's already done, come on and love the Lord with me. If you've got a need and you need a deliverer, come and trust and ask God today. Come and magnify Him. He's worthy to be praised. Lord, I love You. I thank You. I magnify Your name. I praise You, Lord Jesus.